This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
You were talking about how Kevin Hart stole all of your friends.
He still owns my friend.
They're like writers for him and a part of his team and everything.
Yeah, right? but you know, the network is very important, man. Uh-huh. Your network. And I remember me and my buddy Joy Wells standing outside of the Improv one day, and we was just looking. It was comedians like Alex Thomas and Chris Spencer and all those guys. They just looked like they was having fun. And we was looking like, man, how do we get in the clique? And what we learned is that you kind of don't get in the clique. You kind of become the clique.
Hot Breath. What's up, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back. This is your host, comedian Joel Byers. Today, hot brethren and sisterin, we have one of our legendary guests. It's been since 2015 since we've interviewed this cat. The first time around, we were interviewing him about all of his experiences, working with people like George Lopez and Monique and Tyler Perry and building his own international brand. And now, 3 years later, is that 3 years? What's today's date? This is 2019, 2015, 3 years. I have a liberal arts degree. Long story short, this is about to be a comedy masterclass from a comedy master. So you're definitely going to want to take notes. In my opinion, this gentleman is a Yoda of comedy. So he is going to help us all today with just taking our comedy to the next level, not only on the stage, but also in the boardroom. So prepare yourselves for a comedy masterclass with the one, with the only, Rodney Perry, everybody. Rodney Perry. And if you do enjoy this one, of course, Hot Breathiverse, do give us a shout out. Let us know on social media. You can share on there. Also, connect with us personally on our personal Facebook group we have, Hot Breath Comedy Network. On there, you can connect with fans and also other listeners, and we share a lot of fun insights over there as well. So definitely keep up with us. And shoot me an email with any questions you may have or any content you'd like to see us creating, joelbyerscomedy@gmail.com. The more we can connect, the more we can grow, and the more impact we can have on comedy together. So, without further ado, hot brethren and sisters, let us welcome to the Hot Breathiverse the one, the only, the legendary, Rodney Perry, everybody. What's up, buddy? We out here. All right. You got your mic? You got a mic? Mm-hmm. Did I give you a mic? Oh, I didn't give you a mic. There you go, buddy.
I was like, maybe he don't want me to talk. I'm not going to say nothing until I give me a microphone.
Sir, it's been so long.
What's up, JB?
What's good, buddy? So,
did I just give you a nickname? Do people call you JB?
JB? I've been called that before. Yeah.
That would be cool. You don't go by, you're not a JB.
I'm not.
You're Joel.
I'm Joel. I'm trying to brand Joel.
But you're Joel Byers.
Yeah.
You're the whole thing. Yeah, you're not just Joel. You're Joel Byers. You're absolutely. I'm Rodney Perry. I'm not Rodney.
Well, my goal is to, though, when people hear the name Joel, they then default to me.
You're the only Joel.
There's an Osteen. But,
Joel Osteen.
But right now he owns
deal.
The name.
He's definitely the top of the Google search.
Right now, though. Right now.
Right now. For the time being.
Yeah.
He's the head Joel.
But that's why we're interviewing you today, hoping you can share insights on how we can build this empire.
Right, man. I'm trying to figure it out too, man. And
you
know, I think more than anything, it's just you know, people start to throw words around at you when you've been around for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, so I hear the comic say legend, and that's kind of off-putting, but I receive it at the same time.
Sorry.
You know, because you become a legend if you just don't quit.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Is there music?
I can turn that off.
Is there music going on?
That's Madden. I'm sorry.
That's Madden?
That's John Madden football. Hold on. Hold on.
Sorry, guys. My grown guest has to turn down his Madden game really quick. Oh, you don't have to turn it off. I know you're in the middle of a... Hilarious. And I'll give you some water, too. We've got our own branded water since last time you were here. Got some Fontus local Georgia spring water.
Get out of here. This is nice, Joel. Wow.
Hey.
Get out of here. You sell these?
I do. People can go on hotbreathpodcast.com, contribute a donation, and they get a water bottle.
Get out. Is that you? Are you the white guy in the
Yeah, that's me. I'm the white guy.
That guy looks like Dick Van Dyke.
That's what my wife said too. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. She did say that.
Does she know who Dick Van Dyke is?
Uh huh.
Get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. She's OG.
She is absolutely an OG. Good for her. You're married now, dude.
I am.
Last time we talked, you weren't married yet.
No.
You guys were talking about it, and wow, I remember us having some conversations. So good. How is it?
I love it.
Yeah, good
I
for
like
you.
Being married.
Married. There's nothing like having somebody that gives a damn. For
right.
real.
Yeah.
You know, that really cares. Are you okay? Are you okay, Joel? and really wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And motivates you.
Absolutely.
That's some of my biggest advice I'd give to lonely comics out there. Just get married. And you find new motivation.
At the very least, it's good for an hour of material.
Right. Yeah.
If for no other reason, get married for the jokes.
And a dog, because I've got a dog now. So
you got a dog? You guys are a real deal family.
She's closing in on me.
It's over.
Checkmate.
Let me tell you something. You got the last move. You might just lay down. The checkmate is the baby.
Whoa, word.
The baby is the super checkmate.
Ooh.
Yeah. But you'll be fine.
I'm in no hurry.
Yeah, you know.
We don't have unlimited data.
You kind of should be a hurry.
You think?
Yeah. How old are you?
31.
Oh, you're still young. But you know, you're getting into the window where you could be an old dad.
Yeah, but I want to have money before I have a kid.
Kids bring money. You have money to. Kids will come with a. My mother used to always say this. My wife and I remember I was, you know, budding up becoming a comedian. We had already had one child and we had just got financially stable and we had another one on the way. And I remember just being frustrated. And I talked to my mom and I was like, Mom, you know, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I got a baby coming and I don't know how I'm gonna take care of this baby. She said, babies come with blessings. Hmm. Baby, and I stopped and I looked at my children. I was like, yo, each kid brought a certain dowry, if you will, and they all come with a blessing. My first daughter got us our first apartment in Inglewood, California. My second daughter, we moved into a 2-bedroom. My third daughter, we end up in a 3-bedroom. And our baby now got us this house.
Whoa.
Absolutely.
In
that's
this
a
theater.
Fact.
We're in a theater.
We're in the theater. We got some chairs.
Well, maybe that's what I'm missing. Cause
you gotta let them soldiers go, man.
Let the soldiers go.
My boy said he shoot up the club. he said we had trying to have a kid. I was like, okay, good stuff. He's like, yeah, man, I'll be shooting up the club every night. I'm like, shooting up the club.
Yeah, that's how you make life.
That's the new term.
Is that what he tells his wife too? He's like, yeah, I'm shooting up the club for our family.
Hey, I guess.
Well, if that's the secret, man, because that's where I'm at in my career right now is I'm 9 years in.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know in perspective of this is my life, like I'm doing this for the rest of my life, comedy. Mm-hmm. But 9 years in, I'm like, all right, I've been doing it long enough to where
it's time.
Like, it's time to start making money.
True enough.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not trying to sound ungrateful or impatient because mm-hmm. I know this whole game is a marathon and not a sprint.
True.
But I am ready to start putting in some infrastructure, at least, to start actually generating income and not just paying dues.
And you've already kind of begun to do that. And we all have to make the paradigm shift because this is a business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you inherently are an artist. So when you're an artist, you just want to paint. You just want to do your art. And the shift comes when you go, okay, I'm an artist. I will probably do this for free for the rest of my life, but I really would like to pay the light bill.
Right.
And the light bill is coming again and again and again. So it's a mental shift, which it sounds like you've already made. So the mental shift is being a headliner or committing to being a feature, making a plan. You know, the things as comedians we kind of don't do, you know, we kind of just kind of wing it. But the more you can plan, the better you'll be equipped to see where you are on your as you approach your goals. If you don't make a plan, you don't even know when you're approaching your goal. So I've done those things throughout my career, and it was moments when I wasn't doing any of it. You know, and I can look back and go, man, that I could have been way more productive during that stretch of my life had I been more focused.
And so how did you dial in that focus? What shift did you make?
Wow, great question. How did I dial in the focus? You know, it might have been a friend. It might have been, you know, seeing somebody else. It might have been any number of things. And then you have to remind yourself, even once you know, you still got to remind yourself to do it, you know. So dialing in that focus is really about just, you got to take a step back and look at your life and be like, okay, like I'm not where I want to be. So my philosophy has always been get busy. Like whenever I'm at a loss, I just try to do something else, whatever, you know. I try to adjust, you know. I play John Madden football, and that's a great metaphor for me personally, because when a guy is beating you in the game, there's always something you can do, some adjustment you can make. And life is the same way. You can always, you feel like you're losing or you're down, you can always win, because there's a light, a little shift that can affect everything. And so for me, that shift is always get busy. So like, say for instance, you know, starting the beginning of the year, I learned over my career to manage time better. And what I mean when I do that, when I say that, like I manage my year. So say we're in first quarter, you know, like, and Fortune 500 companies do this too. First quarter 2019, Rodney Perry needs to be working. So guess what? I got to be thinking about first quarter in September. Like, I can't wait to December when everybody's off work going Christmas to think about what I'm going to be doing January, February, March. So I'm thinking about first quarter then, and now January, February, March, I'm thinking, okay, spring. Okay, what do I have that's going to splash in spring so I can further, I not only got to do stuff, but I got to do stuff that's far reaching. So for me personally, this year, I just wrote my first book.
Oh, wow.
Just finished my book. I call it, the original title was 100 Moments on My Journey. And as I wrote the moments out, I had a list of 130 moments. So I changed the title to Moments on My Journey. And you constantly get tools, Joel. Like a friend of mine who's an author, I called her. I was like, I got this book in my mind. I wrote an outline, which what I had written out amounted to a great outline. And she was like, okay, she gave me a tool. She said, use this website. It's called Teamy.com, right? T-E-M-I, Teamy. Teamy transformed my spoken word into type words. So now I can write my book without physically typing. So a book that would have took me 6 months to write, I wrote in 2 weeks. I know the stories. You know, I know the moments, so I was able to kind of get through it, and it was really cathartic, because as I was recalling certain moments of my life, you know, recounting things, I could have done that better, I could have did this better, but it was stuff that I had forgotten. And so as I was going through the process, I was like, yo, looking at my life, and it just opened me up. Now I'm writing all the time, because I'm like, you know, whether it's with a pen and paper, or I'm typing, or I'm talking to my phone, I'm constantly kind of creating. I'm in a really great creative space. And as comedians, we go in and out of those spaces. So you gotta stay in the creative space longer if you can, you know. So
I'm curious to hear even how maybe far back you were planning to write this book, because you're talking about creating a plan and having like a destination. So is this something you thought of years ago?
Yes.
Just finally implemented?
Yeah. It's been on my bucket list for some time.
Okay.
But I don't want to front like I was like, beginning of 2019, I'm gonna write a book. No, I knew I wanted to write the book. I came up with a title maybe at least 2 years ago, but the prospect of typing a book was a daunting task for me. And so I was like, yo, man, I can't do that. And I was just finding reasons not to do it. And so just like a few, like maybe 5 years ago when I wrote my first short film, I try to give myself attainable goals.
Right.
Like I try to say, like when I start writing a short film, I was like, I just want to write 5 pages. If I can write 5 pages, I'll be happy. And 5 pages turned into 10 pages, turned into 28 pages. And I let my buddy read it, who's a director. He said, Rodney, you have to shoot this. So next thing I know, I'm shooting, writing, producing, directing my own short film. So if you can create, the universe will kind of move out your way to get it done.
Okay.
You know, it's like with this, I can remember you starting this. And because you started this, you've become an expert in this field. You know, you could teach a class on how to do this.
Yeah.
Which is another stream of income.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the streams. And on the, on our first interview, you said people should have 7 streams.
Yeah, that's a school of thought. We should have 7 streams of income. But this is the thing about us. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, let's talk money.
Yes.
You already got it. Like, because we deal in intellectual property. So you're probably sitting on $1 million+ worth of ideas. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you're like me, Rodney Perry is an idea guy. I come up with ideas all day. My dilemma is keeping people around me to help me implement those ideas. So I think probably a good place to start for us today is like team building. Like who's on your team? Who's helping you? Who wants to help you that you're not paying attention to? Like, those are the people that you need to lock into. Because, like, my sister, she has a unique skill set. Her degree is in logistics and planning. And so she was just my little sister to me. And we got to talk one day, and I was like, wow, you do that? I need that. And you just got to know that it's people in your life that's probably already there. So, again, it's always life is perspective. Sometimes you just got to step back and go, oh, shit, I got the person that needs to help me right there. Okay. It might be your wife. It might be a girlfriend. I personally don't like working with my wife.
Okay.
She too bossy.
She was knocking on the door. What are you doing down there?
Who bossy? Yeah. But, yeah.
So building the team, that could be step one.
I think so. Building a team, of course, starting with you. You know, I meet a lot of young comics. It's like, man, I need a manager. Who's a good manager? I'm like, first of all, you don't know how to manage you yet. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are a business, would you turn the reins over to your business to anybody before you knew how to CEO? If you're hiring a manager, you're the CEO, so you need to know their job. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So you definitely need a manager when you have something to manage.
Gold.
Hey.
That's gold. Gotta have something to manage.
Hey, man, I see tons of people don't have nothing to damn manage out there with a manager. Splitting $50.
Right.
How you gonna get somebody 10% of $50? Stop.
So even thinking of in money and what I've been kind of, and this is my first year. I'm glad you brought up goals because this is my first year of my career. I have made specific measurable goals.
Okay.
Like I have a financial goal I want to hit. I have like a specific goal with festivals for this podcast of getting into. Like I have measurable goals.
Understood.
So I've taken inventory on all the different things I'm doing, and then now I'm trying to figure out how to, I guess, turn it into a business or turn it into, like, money, really, with all the education that's going on. I'm teaching some classes. This is educational, this mm-hmm. podcast we're mm-hmm. doing. So I'm brainstorming and trying to think of ways. And my vision is to have, like, a comedy school.
Mm-hmm.
And not only in person, but also online through like webinars.
Right.
Various.
I definitely want to get in that web space as well. The more passive income you can create, the better. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but like I kind of need to do everything, which is the wrong way to approach mm-hmm. any business. You know, billionaires don't physically do anything. There, but the usually the stuff that they yield, they can set the wheels in motion. So webinars, I think, is a great idea, great space to get in, and you could create it one time and it could live years beyond you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I to short answer, I'm trying to get in that space as well. I think it's a great space to be in, and the hard part is realizing what you're selling. Like, I have an improv workshop, right? And I was talking to one of my buddies. He's an entrepreneur, and we had these great conversations. We go back and forth on business, and you know, again, your team is people that kind of make you better. And he's always giving me these jewels, right? And he's like, Rodney, you're not selling improv. You're selling a brand of motivation. So when I teach my improv workshop, I tell people, I'm not teaching you improv. I'm teaching you how to trust your choices. If you trust your choices, you'll be kind of better at everything. Improv is just one of the things you'll be pretty good at. And it's the tool I use, but ultimately you'll be better at on your feet making quick choices. I can help you with that. And so that's essentially empowerment. Right, it's just wrapped in improv. So how do I package that for webinars, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube? It can be done, and that's one of the things we're working on right now.
So you would almost like even the advertising, you would reword it to be more based on like not improv, but more of just motivation or. Self-sufficiency?
Maybe. I mean, that's kind of the idea as we're trying to figure it out. I'm figuring it out as we speak. Like,
oh, wow. Okay.
I got a friend of mine that's helping me with some branding of it because he came and watched me. I'm in a class right now. I partner with DFAS, which is an acting studio here in Atlanta. And it's been a great partnership to this point. So DFAS and I have taken the Never Deny Next Level improv workshop and really expanded it. And at the same time, I'm trying to expand it even more because it's one of those things that anybody can do, you know? So I'm trying to figure it out, man.
It's interesting to hear someone at the level of your career saying, I'm still trying to figure it out too.
Yes, sir.
That is enlightening for people listening who are like me or even like a year or two in where it's like, right. Oh, at every level, we're still...
I mean, every goal you achieve will open a door to another goal.
Okay.
It's just what it is. I mean, you know, when you get that dollar value we talked about, you said you set your goal, you want to achieve that dollar value. Mm-hmm. When you get that money, you'll be like, I need more, actually. If I'm really honest with myself, I actually need more than that. Like I definitely set monetary goals throughout the year, but more than that, like, my goals, like, I don't even realize the money I've made till I stop and do my taxes. Or I stop and I look at, you know, I know what it costs to run my life per month. And you do that times 12 and you're like, yo, we had a pretty good year. We not kicked out.
Right.
We gotta be killing it. So another tidbit is just take some time, man, and take inventory of your wins. You know, because we're so busy to get to the next win that we never celebrate the win. You know, you're winning, dude. You got a great podcast. You got listenership. You got people that are envying the hot breath-a-verse. That's a good deal, man. So yeah. So don't forget to go, Joe Byers, you're doing good. Yeah, because he needs that. We need that.
Yeah, I guess reinforcement. Yeah,
absolutely.
You're walking your journey.
Absolutely. I mean, and dude, the crazy part, people would swap places with us. I mean, we're sitting here at noon on a Friday, and this is probably all you got anything else to do today?
Yeah, I have a call I got to do.
You got a call, so you got to make a phone call.
With the writing, I do like I help people with writing and punching up stuff for building their sets. So I have one of those this afternoon,
and they got to pay you for that.
Yes,
come on, man.
So
it's somebody at a cubicle that wants to murder both of us.
Listening to this right now.
I hate you, Joe Byer. And the other guy. That's me. That's crazy.
That is good perspective to have. But even when you're starting, because now we're almost thinking of more high level of okay, trying to build this business and this brand. Mm-hmm. But even I'm also at a point where I'm looking to get booked more. I like how you said it's a mind shift, whether you're a headliner, you're a feature now. It's like I've turned down hosting stuff because I am like in the mindset of I'm at least a feature now. Like
exactly.
I can't go down and just stay there. You
gotta change your mind before you change your position.
Boom.
I made a couple of decisions back to back. So I was in the Navy from 90 to 98. At 1998, I was at a crossroads. I was either going to continue on in the Navy, do 4 more years, which would have took me to 12. And if I had done 12, I would have had to do 20.
Hmm.
In my mind, that was the math. And so I was like, yo, I got to get out. I'd already kind of decided, but I hadn't done it yet. So I got out, but that's just part of it. So you get out, and now you have to actually start doing it. You have to actually start doing that thing that you said you were going to do. And so I got out, but I still kind of wasn't doing it. I was doing all kind of other stuff just to make ends meet. And so as I stepped out on faith, the other step was mentally. So I decided, and this was a very conscious decision, I'm a headliner now. Now, everybody wouldn't book me, but it was a few people that respected me that would book me as a headliner.
Hmm.
And I remember one time I realized you can't relinquish that either. So one of my buddies, he was a comedian. He's very funny. And he was like, Rod, you headline all the time. Let me headline tonight. But he hadn't really earned that spot yet. And I said, you know what? It's all good. But it wasn't. And he did well. But I learned that night that you never relinquish that thing that you work for.
Mm.
Like, you don't yield to give that up because you made the shift in your mind. And so it just didn't feel good to me. And so whether it's featuring or whatever it is, you have to decide. And once you decide, then you start doing it. Like, you got to make the choice here first. You have to. And I've done it, so I'm not just arbitrarily saying it. I know it works too.
So when you make that mind shift, what is the next step? Would you start reaching out to bookers as a headliner? Like, what was your next step? You make the mind shift. Now, what is the actual physical shift?
How do you implement it?
Yeah.
So you make the mind shift, and this might be sounds like some metaphysical mumbo jumbo, but people just start calling.
Hmm.
People start calling, and you may have to turn some stuff down. You may have to turn some stuff down. And the thing about offers is, if a person called you, they'll call again. Like, you had to just trust that. And don't get me wrong, what people don't understand is sometimes the light billers do. And if the light billers do, the gig you would have turned down, had you had that bill paid, you might take. And so we have those gray areas. But as you make that choice that I am this now, your first implementation is probably turning down anything lesser than that.
Mm.
And beyond that, the rest of the stuff kind of just makes its way to you. Like, so I don't know if I'm being clear answer-wise, but you just kind of have to trust it,
okay,
that it's going to work, you know, it's going to work. And it'll be some tough days. You know, I think at some point God just expects you to trust him. Like, you got to, either you trust me or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you worried at all, it's not a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, you're making sense. Cause I remember even when I first pursued comedy full time, like, I saved up $10,000.
Not enough. There's never enough money. You can save $1 million and you'll blow through that in 3 days. You're like, what happened?
I mean, it got me a long way, though.
That really?
10,000. I mean, I was working at Enterprise Rent a Car.
Got it.
And then as soon as I hit that 10,000 mark, I quit and then took on. I didn't quit.
That was a part of a plan, though. I mean, you didn't just say, I got 10,000, I'm quitting.
No, it was, and I'll take a lesser job. So then I went into, I was a hotel minibar attendant.
Nice.
So I just went around minibars refilling those and bringing home dinner every night as well. But I took.
I love it. So you had all type of cookies and snacks from the minibar.
Yeah, and trail. I went on a little three-run tour with a couple of comics. We had an Almost Grown-Ups tour. It was just the three of us.
Love it.
And that whole trip, we went up like through Missouri and like came back around. I think through like Huntsville and then came home. And that whole trip, I ate nothing but Clif Bars.
Really?
Clif Bars from the mini bars.
Get out of here. You had a naked and afraid diet. It was amazing. Like, I'm always impressed when I hear stories like that, because that's the stuff people don't hear. It's like, people think this looks glamorous when you see the big comics. It looks really glamorous. But, you know, we all were there. Eating those Clif Bars, eating hot Cheetos, and staying at ratty hotels. Mm-hmm. It was a run when I first made the choice to get out of the Navy. And so I was a headliner. I made up my mind. I'm a headliner. And my last feature job was I did a tour. This guy named Dave Tribble used to do a run.
I've heard a lot of comics talk about the famous Tribble Run.
I did a Tribble Run. And so I was living in L.A. at the time, but the run would be up like in the northwest, northwest, like California, above California. So I had to drive back, which was like a 13-hour drive from L.A. And I played Winnemucca, Nevada. I played Billings, Montana. Mountain Home, Idaho, and these wasn't in order. It wasn't in like you work your way that way. It was like you go up, you go way over here. Next day you way over here. Next day you way over here. I was like, who routed this shit? I'm the feature. The guy that was headlining, his big joke, he had the word spam on his shirt. He had a spam shirt, and his big joke was that he was dyslexic, so he bought this Maps shirt. I don't remember his name, but he was a road comic. He was the guy that was on the road probably 300 days a year. He went from city to city. He could easily have murdered his way across America. Nobody would have known.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember being impressed by him. At some point, I was like, I mean, we coming back here. Can we ride together? He was like, nope.
Word.
He's like, no, man. He said, this is my thing. I like to drive myself. I was like, no problem, buddy.
Wow.
But it was after doing that run, I was like, I'm definitely headlining. I'm never doing this again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I went through that. And I mean, it's so many ebbs and flows, man. I mean, you know, taking a bus from LA to Dallas to feature for George Lopez. A bus, Greyhound bus, and not knowing the difference between express and local.
What is the difference?
So if you take the express, you drive big chunks of the trip. So you might drive from LA to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big hunk of trip. And then from San Antonio into Dallas, two big hunks. If you take the local bus, you drive from LA to San Bernardino, to all those, you get to Texas, Midland, Lubbock, Waco. So it's like 1,000 stops. They deliver mail.
Right. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
crazy. It's crazy. So
Uber pool.
It's Uber pool. It's a giant Uber pool. No Wi-Fi. It was just you and your thoughts. And I remember riding that trip, going, I'll never ride a bus again. And I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't rode a bus anywhere since that trip, and that's over 20 years ago.
So it sounds like when you do make that mind shift, it just forces a new like capability out of you almost.
Probably a capability, or spiritually, it's just you know, the universe just starts to conspire on your behalf. It just starts working to help you, you know. And I wouldn't say that if I hadn't seen it so many times.
Okay.
You know, I, if I wasn't sure, I wouldn't say it. But I'm sure that this happens because I've seen it, you know. And so just know, man, if you're listening to my voice right now, that you got to commit. You got to commit. Commit. You committed to the stage. You committed to your whatever your endeavors is. So you got to commit again. You will continue to commit throughout your career.
Is there such thing as like too big a commitment or too small a commitment? Like, is there a sweet spot you have found?
That's a good question. I don't think any commitment is too big, but I think you can set your goals too small.
Okay.
Like you have to, and don't get me wrong, you have to have attainable goals, but no goal is too big because you can achieve stuff that you can't fathom. You know, Jamie Foxx is a stand-up comedian. He won an Oscar. I know that wasn't on his bucket list. I'm going to win an Oscar one day. No, who knew? I mean, the guy is a really great mimic. You know, so it would go to show and prove that he would be able to do what he did, but he probably didn't know he could do what he did. So to answer your question, again, no thing is too big, but as you set those things, be aware that, you know, like I had a friend of mine, she was like, I just want to be able to pay my bills. I'm like, that's it? You're already paying your bills. Like, why even ask for that? Yeah, it's a struggle. You know, like my grandmother used to pray for me. She said, Lord, give Rodney everything he needs. Give him just what he needs, Lord. I was like, no. So, Grandma, tell God I need some excess. Mm-hmm. I need what I need, and I need some extra. And so if you want abundance, if you want extra, you got to ask for it.
When we talk about the seven streams of income, and over your career, I think this will be useful for comics, is what are some of the streams you've, and not maybe not even that you're currently using either, but just over the years and in the game, what are some of the streams you've had that maybe other comics
I've tried it all. All the merchandise you could do, I've done it. T-shirts. I got a t-shirt on right now.
Did that spam guy share? Did he sell merch?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
Okay, but sorry, go ahead on with your merch.
I end up wearing more of this stuff than anything.
The Rodney Perry merch?
Oh, God. I'm the worst. I've seen guys that are really good at it. Michael Collier is the best of all time selling stuff.
Dude, he'll be outside of shows, I remember. He's like, where you going with my money? Where you going with my money? And he will call people back.
And they'll come give him his money. Yes. It's amazing. We did a co-headlining gig, which is amazing in itself because Michael Collier is a legend, a real deal legend.
For sure.
And so we did a co-headline gig in St. Louis together. And I had my little shirts sitting in my table. I'm just like, I hate hawking stuff. I do too. I don't like being in the mall.
Me neither.
Like, I'm a comedian, you know. I don't like. But when you watch this man, first of all, he wraps his set and then he pitches for 20 more minutes. The pitch is unprecedented. Like, and then he has all this stuff that's so easy. He's not carrying a lot of stuff. He has a book. He has a sheet of paper with a poem on it. It's $7.
What?
It's amazing. He has something else. He has a button or something. They all cost these individual prices. But together, you can get the love package for $35. You know, people run to get this man his $35. I was in awe. And so, but I've tried a lot of different things, but t-shirts, merch requires you to be there. I hate merch that's attached to a joke, because now I'm forced to do that joke every set, you know. So I hate that. But I've tried that. I've done wristbands and keychains and CDs and DVDs, and that's become obsolete. So everybody's trying to figure out what's next. Is it digital downloads? What is the thing? Podcasts, live radio, blog talk radio. I had my show over there for quite some time. Those could be streams of income as well. What else have I done? You know, inside of internet, I've written.
Okay.
Most recently, I did Punch Up on a film, which was very interesting to me because I was punching up stuff for comedians. So they had comedians on the set, and I was giving them lines and stuff. It was really interesting and rewarding on another level. But it was just another way to kind of maximize what we do. Because, yeah. I mean, like when you're talking with somebody over the phone and you help them punch up a set, that's no different than punching up a movie.
Right.
You just got to be good on your feet, and you got to be willing for it not to work. And you just got to keep throwing down, keep throwing, keep shooting, keep pitching. So I've done that. Warm-up was big for me. Audience warm-up was very big for me. Kim Whitley gave me my first warm-up job. And so for anybody that doesn't know what warm-up is,
right?
Most TV shows have a live studio audience. Well, not as much anymore. But like all the sitcoms in the 90s would have a live studio audience. And so whether it was All of Us, Will Smith's show, or, you know, or the Bill Cosby show, the Cosby Show, they all had live audience. So there's a human being that keeps the audience engaged while they're shooting the show. I was one of those guys. Cedric the Entertainer gave me a great job. He had a sketch comedy show. And it was called Cedric the Entertainer Presents. I was the warm-up guy, and it was great. I was getting $1,500 a day.
That's great.
And I was getting 2 days a week.
Oh.
You talk about Rodney Perry buying the drinks? What? What you mean? Give him whatever he want. Man, dude. And I was living in L.A., so to make that type of money and live in L.A., I could pay my rent. It was just, I mean, and I was making maybe $7,000-$8,000 a month.
That's great.
And I mean, this is years ago. So that sustained me for quite some time. And you know, Cedric also gave me my first movie. That's when I realized I needed to act. Because if you want to be a stand-up comedian and you want people to come see you, they need to know who you are. One of those ways that people become familiar with you is television and or film. And so that's why I started taking acting classes. So I started taking classes because I knew that I wasn't just naturally good. I knew that. So I said, let me take a class and let me figure it out a little bit because I'm going to get these opportunities. So sometimes you got to anticipate where you're going and what you're going to need and start getting those things, pulling that in, you know, pulling those things towards you. And so I did that. But, you know, man, outside of stand-up, I've done a number of things to earn money, though. You know, but it's always in the stand-up or comedy world,
right,
in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's important for comedians to understand that some of those require investment.
Absolutely.
Like, you need to, I'm going to want to become an actor. Okay, well, I need to do acting classes. I need to pay to take acting classes.
Yes.
Like, there is some upfront investment.
Now, let the buyer beware. There's a business of people separating you from your money. So if anybody asks you for like $1,000 off the rip, it's a ripoff. Period. I've been ripped off. Oh, yeah. It's like, have you seen these billboards? Even right here in Atlanta, there's some billboards, right? It's like Christians that want to act or something like that. It's
Yeah.
It's a ripoff. It's a ripoff.
Looks like it.
It's absolute ripoff. And Barbizon. You know, or you ever been in a mall and somebody goes, your daughter, your kid is so beautiful. And you're like, my kid? My kid is regular. My kid is not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bring her in. And then you get in and they start telling you, well, we got to take pictures. Well, just give us $800 and we'll get it started. It's a ripoff.
Okay.
It's a ripoff. And there's tons of companies like that. And so I remember when I was in the Navy, me and my buddy, they had told us we could all be models. Let me tell you something. Rodney Perry, in my mind, I'm handsome, but I know the truth. And I'm not a model. I'm 5'7".
But stout. He's swole
I'm
seven.
I'm a swole you know? Seven.
Rudy Tootie. Or what? Rudy Patootie? What do you call
I'm like a fire hydrant. You can't push me over. Yeah.
So it sounds like, as we land this plane here, a lot of the opportunities you've discussed have come from your network. Like, a lot, you're like, Sed got me this, Kim mm-hmm. Whitley booked me on this. And even,
absolutely.
Even in our first interview we did together, you were talking about how Kevin Hart stole all of your friends.
He still yeah. owns my friend.
They're like writers for him and a part of his team and everything.
Yeah,
right?
but you know, the network is very important, man. Uh-huh. Your network. And I remember me and my buddy Joy Wells standing outside of the Improv one day, and we was just looking. It was comedians like Alex Thomas and Chris Spencer and all those guys. Wow. They just looked like they was having fun. And we was looking like, man, how do we get in the click? How do we get in that click? Those guys are clicking.
Yeah.
How do we get in there? And what we learned is that you kind of don't get in the click. You kind of become the click. Like, your boys right now, your friends, your associates, your peer group become the click. And people are going to be looking like Joe Byers and those guys with the doubt. We want to be them. Mm. So you'll eventually become the click. And so you don't join. Those people are gone. Like, cats come to me all the time. And Miss Rodney, I want you to mentor me. Well, first of all, you don't get to pick your mentor. Your mentor picks you. You don't just walk up to a sensei and be like, sensei, let's fight. No, buddy. Mm-hmm. But so now, when you're making these steps and these strides, and you have amassed this network over your career, you know, people chose you. Cedric chose to kind of help me a little bit. Kim Whitley chose to be my friend, which because like I tell cats all the time, be my friend, dude. If you're my friend, when stuff crosses my desk, then I'll call you. That's just kind of what it is. And don't be afraid to ask for help. I'll leave that. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, people look at you, Joe Byers, and they think you got it together. And you do. But you need help sometimes. You know, people see you doing this, and they go, like, yo, man, Joe Byers, he don't want a feature. You know, but we talked the other night. And for the first time, I thought, like, yo, Joe would be a dope feature for me, you know? But I didn't even know you were in the market. Now I know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's like, yo, you know, you can't be afraid to go, hey, man, if you have any feature work, let me know. And then the guys that say that ain't even ready.
They say they want a feature?
Oh, man, I get young guys like, hey, Rodney, I heard you great. You think good. They got a feature for you. I think, first of all, you got to get 6 minutes of jokes and add 20 minutes of that. Yeah, and then maybe, you know, so I like to think that the cats and notice it's not a forever job. Like, I feature for some great comedians. Mm-hmm. You're working your way out of that job the moment you take it. The moment you start featuring for somebody. He or she, if he loves you, if he likes you, he should tell you one day, that's it, dog. It's been a good run. You know, if he wants to see you win, if you stay in that spot too long, it's not productive for you or him. You know, we all need to be challenged. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's where my mindset just shifted this year. I just became in the market on that level where okay, I'm at least this. I'm no longer like, well, chip away. It's like, no, I'm now this.
Right.
So when that came up in conversation, we were out at a show. Maybe you were one of the first people I actually maybe audibly expressed it to also. So like you said, it's kind of make the mind shift, and then kind of we run into each other at a show, and then this happens, and then, you know, so.
There you go.
Maybe it is, boom, divine.
Hey, now we got to do get one of these shows, get you out here on this road.
Get a date.
Yeah. So it's coming. I promise. I promise you at least one. I mean, I
appreciate anything, man. So maybe a good closing piece of advice for comics And like networking is a big deal, but you can also be annoying when you're trying to network, when you're out at shows. And I know you're, because you are so approachable. I mean, before I even really knew you, I hit you up on Twitter and I was like, hey, you want to go see Louis C.K. at the Fox? We didn't even know each other really.
To this day, that is probably one of the best hit ups anybody ever gave me. And especially considering, you know, what Louis C.K. is going through right now, which I'm, you know, it is what it is, but man.
What do you think about it?
I mean, the man likes to masturbate. It's okay. I do. Like, I masturbate all the time. I just don't do it in front of people. And I get, you know, the Me Too movement. I get it. But you don't go to a guy's room at 2 o'clock if you don't want to see his penis.
Mm.
At 2 a.m., penises come out. Sorry, ladies. It's a fact of life.
What about the set that was leaked where people are saying like his material about like the Parkland shooter and all that?
He's always been that guy. This is the thing, Joe Byers. Mm-hmm. People don't do anything new. People kind of do what they do all the time. So where America is now, we kind of like when we like it, but when we don't like it, it's hurtful, you know. So you don't get to have it both ways. Either you hate him when you like it, and you hate him when you don't like it. You don't get to do both. Mm-hmm. And so that's the frustrating thing. And what I'm concerned with as a comedian is any comedian that comes under fire for saying or speaking their truth, whatever that thing is. When you have a thought, don't get me wrong, Parkland is kind of one of those things. I personally might not do a joke about it, but because he found a way to make it funny, is interesting to me. That's interesting to me. You know, like if I'm on stage and I see a guy in a wheelchair, how dare I not say what I would say to an able-bodied person to him? How dare I? That he goes through his life, people ignore you. So to have somebody pay attention to you, that might be the blessing in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in a wheelchair for a period of time. I'm telling you, there's nothing more frustrating than people looking over you, you know. And so I was that guy. So I get it. If you're in a wheelchair, I'm talking about your ass too.
Was that when you had a stroke?
Yes.
You're in the because that happened since the last time we did this.
Yeah, it sure is. Sure did.
Oh my gosh!
I'm 2 years removed right now. 2 years and some change. It's crazy because you go through life-changing moments. So I'm probably more spiritual now than I was then or earlier. And so I tell my buddies, I had a chance to look over the edge of life. Like, oh, wow, it's crazy. You know, I had a chance to die. I didn't die, but the things that happen to a person that dies, I was able to see that while I was still breathing. You know, when a guy dies and everybody posts pictures like how cool you were and stuff like that. I saw that.
Oh, people were doing that for you?
Yeah, while I was in the hospital. People was like, yo, Roddy Perry once told me XYZ, or Roddy Perry,
whoa.
Oh my God. You know, it was crazy. And I was like, yo, they talking to me. They talking about me like I'm dead. Like, hey, I'm over here.
Yo.
Yo, it was crazy. And so you go through that and this is the best part about getting sick. I looked amazing. I lost so much weight. I'm thinking about getting sick again, just as shit, about 30 pounds.
Having a stroke, what is that like? Like, where did you think you were gonna die?
Never.
Okay.
I never, but I'm an idiot. The best thing I had going for me is that I didn't know how bad it was. Had I known how bad it was, I probably would have been easily, I would have felt sorry for myself. But I was still trying to make shows. Whoa. I was like, yo, I know we got rehab tomorrow, but can you just get me out of here in like 7 days? I got a show in Atlanta. Oh, yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
You're a comic.
I'm a comic.
You taught me that important lesson. I was at an open mic. Like, not a great open mic. And then I saw you there, and I was like, what are you doing here? And you were like,
I'm a comedian.
I'm a comic. You looked at me in the eye and smiled and said, I'm a comic. And I was like, yo, that is the lifestyle.
I'm also a crackhead. I'm a comedy crackhead. Every comic is not that guy.
I am. Like, I'm a fiend for it.
I need it. Yeah. I need it. It's for my own psyche. It's very selfish. I need it. And when comedians reach out to me, it's like, man, I think I want to do comedy. You got to get on stage for me. You got to know you love this. Then we can figure out other means or what your next step is. But you gotta take some steps on your own before I help you.
So maybe comics trying to network, make sure when you're approaching someone like a Rodney Perry or even like just another comic, like make sure maybe you have, don't just annoy them and like trying to take from them. Maybe bring something to the table.
I mean, it's a feel thing. It just needs to feel right, you know. Yeah. Like Benny Pitts is a guy I like, but Benny don't work hard enough for me. Mm. So where I like Benny and we have a cool relationship, like he calls to check on me, but I don't give Benny comedy stuff because Benny is not dedicated to stand up like that. And hopefully he watches this and goes, but Rodney, I am. And I'm like, okay, when last time you been up, Benny? It's too long. If you had to look
right
up, too long.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's definitely a you can't annoy me because I won't let you. So I just shut it down. If I want to deal with you, I just shut it down.
So just treat it like a working environment and just be a good coworker. Just
exactly. Be a good coworker. Great. Well said.
Okay. Good. Well, we got that out of there. All right, comics. Be a good coworker. This is a business. Treat it like one.
Treat it like one. It's your business. You own it.
Hey, that was the whole goal of this talk, too, was business, and you gave it to us, so I appreciate it, man.
Hey, amen. Thank you.
And before we get out of here, is there anything else you want the world to know?
Oh, the Rodney Perry Survivor is on the streets. It's my new comedy, I guess a CD, album.
Great.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm really proud of it. It's the cover is an ode to the great Richard Pryor. I had a pencil drawing made of my face. And so the cover is an ode to Richard Pryor. Won it live in concert. I mimicked that cover, but it's Rodney Perry Survivor. Mm. And it's out now. I did an interview on Tom Joyner yesterday about it. And I'm really proud of this piece. And, you know, so after having the stroke, I really wanted to kind of put this material out. I wasn't ready to shoot video, but I wanted to get it out to the world, so I did this CD. And we shot right here in Atlanta. We recorded right here in Atlanta at the Atlanta Comedy Theater. And it's for sale. If you want to get one, it's for $7.99 on iTunes or all the places, Google Play, all the places you buy music. Mm. And and it'll be available for streaming, I think, next month if you want to wait and you're just a cheap.
Is there stroke? Like you talk about the stroke?
Oh, yeah. I got tons of stroke material. I'm the stroke comic.
Stroke king.
Stroking.
Hashtag. Oh.
Wow, nice.
Hey, Brandon.
Somebody said to me when I was in the hospital, it was so funny. He said, Rodney, I heard you're starring in the Clarence Carter story. Clarence Carter is a blues guy. Years ago, he had a song called Stroking. I said, what? That's when comics are your friends.
Oh, yeah.
I talked to my mom, Michael Collier, earlier. Michael Collier called me every day when I was in the hospital.
Really?
And told me a joke.
Wow.
Every day.
That probably let you know, like, the impact you're having on the world. When something goes down like that and the amount of outreach.
He was very nice and generous for that. I did get tired of it. I was like, if this motherfucker called me one more time, I'm going to kill him.
You're like, this guy's a comedy legend, but if he calls me one more time,
he's going to be a dead legend.
Well, we'll also link up all your social media and all that.
Absolutely.
In the show notes, because it's all Rodney Perry Live.
Yes, I believe so.
Everything?
Rodney Perry Live. You know, my website is Rodney Perry. So okay. It's either Rodney Perry or Rodney Perry Live on everything.
Okay. Well, we'll be sure to link that in the show notes. And hot brethren and sistren, what you just witnessed, Rodney Perry sharing all of his advice and experience over the years, all the stuff he's learned the hard way so you don't have to. All right.
You're still going to do it the hard way, though.
Like, well, that's the thing about, that's what I love about this podcast. And, you know, people will come on here and not withhold information, which a lot of people like to do for some reason is withhold information. But it's like, people can get the sauce, but they still have to cook it, you know?
You still have to cook it.
So. Wow. This.
You got some jewels yourself, Joe Byers.
You think so?
Sauce, cook it, what? That was amazing.
Well, Carlos Miller had a good quote on here where it was, he said, people can have the recipe, but they've got to know how to cook it or something like that.
Right.
Like there's different chefs have different styles.
You know? Exactly. You're artists, man. You're artists. You know, we just want to paint.
So that's what we want you to do, Hot Brethren and Sister, in leaving this interview. If you did enjoy this and you found it valuable and educational, just share it with another comic. That's all we're trying to do here is help you suck less at comedy.
Help you suck less
at comedy
and get some success.
Ooh.
Bars.
So Rodney Perry did that with you today. If you found that educational, just share it. You can leave an iTunes review. What you did enjoy about it, if you want to hear someone interviewed on here, hit me up. All social media at Hot Breath Pod. HotBreathPodcast.com is the website. JoelByersComedy@gmail.com is my personal email if you want to reach out and connect and schedule a writing session or just let me know something else you want to see here on the podcast. But we're a community. We're a network building together, and that's how we're going to get where we all want to be. And it's a network. So the big takeaway today, network. Treat comedy like a business. When you go out to a show, that is your workplace. Be professional. Be a good coworker. And Rodney Perry, you've been a good coworker today, my man.
Thank you, brother.
Joe All right. Byers.
Hot JB breath. In the building.
Signing off. Yeah. Well, you know, we're trying to make something nice here. Hot breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.